preach the word.
That's right. There you go, Weston.
All right. So last week I introduced to you guys the idea of being under law or under grace. So Romans 6, verse 14, just remind us, it says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Now we want to really focus on that last part again this morning, okay? We're not under law as Christians, but we're under grace. So remember last week I told you to be under law is bad, right? To be under grace is good. Now, I want to really drive this point home again. So I want to see if you got it last week. And that is this. It's good to be under grace, and grace is good, isn't it? It's bad to be under law. Is the law bad?
No.
I heard some yeses. I want you guys to understand. No. The law is not bad. The Bible says the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So is the law good or bad? It's good. In fact, it's holy and righteous and good. We want to obey God. The law is good. Okay? So why is it bad to be under law? See, it's not because the law is bad. You know why it's bad to be under law? Because we're bad. That's the problem. And so the harder you try to get God to accept you by being good, all it's going to do is expose more and more evil in your heart. You can't do it. That's why it's bad to be under law. You can't ever gain acceptance with God because you're bad. I'm bad. That's what the Bible teaches us. It's like, remember Pilgrim's Progress? Okay, Christian, what did he have on his back? Burden. What did that symbolize? His sin. And that burden was there. And so he went to Mount Sinai. And he tried to get rid of that burden by being a good person. What happened to that burden when he went up Mount Sinai?
It got bigger.
It got heavier and dragged him down. And that's what being under the law will always do. It doesn't say it's good to be under grace. It's not the labor of my hands that can fulfill thy law's demands. That's what we sing. That's why at the end it says, all could never sin erase. See, our good works can't erase sin. Thou must save, and save by grace. That's why it's so good to be under grace. Now, last week I went through all these things. Just really quickly, look at the ones on the left. Hey, to be under law is bad. To be under law is to be an unbeliever, not to believe the promises of God. To be under law is to be in Adam. Adam is your representative. To be under law is natural. What do you have to do to be under law, guys?
Break the law.
Nope. What do you have to do to be under law, guys? Be born a human. That's it. Pretty natural, isn't it? Yeah. See, that's it. And to be under law, guys, there's a principle of justice. Justice. If you obey the law perfectly, you'll live. That's justice. You get what you deserve. And that's the problem. Because we don't obey the law perfectly, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve it. So that's why, hence, the principle of under law is what? Do this. Do and gain life. Do and live. See, the problem is, guys, is keeping the law does not take away sin, and it doesn't give life. And that's why being under law leads to fear of punishment. Okay? Because we know we can't. And so it leads to condemnation. It leads to distance from God. We don't want to be close to God because we know we deserve His wrath. You understand that, guys? That's why being under law is so bad. But to be under grace, guys, is good. To be under grace is to be a Christian, to believe the promises of God. To be under grace is to be in Christ, not in Adam. To be under grace is to be, it takes the Spirit of God. It's supernatural. You don't get to be in Christ by being born. You get to be in Christ by being born again. Second birth, the birth from above. To be under grace, guys, is a principle of mercy. We don't get what we deserve. Why? Because Jesus took it for us. Okay? To be under grace, guys, is God gives us life in Christ. And then we can obey. Then we do. Not to earn God's favor, but because we have life. We have forgiveness. Okay? And so that's why it leads to no fear, no peace. See, the point is this, guys. Why do we have no fear of God if we're in Christ under grace? It's because He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, is how Isaiah says it. It says, let me get it here. It says, upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Yeah. And so the point is, guys, is the way we're under grace and not under law is we look to the finished work of Christ on the cross, right? You guys remember this? We look to the cross. And on the cross, okay, Jesus took our stripes. He took our sin. Okay? And so our sin is nailed to the cross. And so because it's there, we no longer have to fear punishment. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. And so that's what I want you guys to understand. Now, that's why in Christ, under grace, we have what? We have forgiveness. Because Jesus paid the punishment we deserve. We have new life. Okay? That now we can obey God freely out of love. Okay? And so we're brought near to God. And Ephesians says it this way. Because we've been saved by grace through faith. Okay? It's not ourselves, but it's what God is, the gift of God. Now in Christ Jesus, we who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, the point is this, guys. Under grace means we look to Jesus, the blood of Christ, for what he's done for us to bring us near to God. Now here's the point. That's what I shared last time. And you guys need to get it. That's the gospel. I want you guys to understand. Pray it. You understand that? You believe it? You trust it? Okay? But here's the thing, guys. It's so natural for us to be under law and not under grace. And even for Christians, we constantly are tempted to go back to being under law. You know that? Constantly going back, thinking that our goodness keeps us accepted with God. In fact, there's a book that's written in the New Testament to help us understand and be warned of this. Look what he says in Galatians chapter 1. Paul writes, I'm astonished. He's writing to Christians. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The different gospel he's talking about, guys, is to be under law again. Now, is that a different way to get saved? No, there's only one way to get saved. Look to Christ. If you look to yourself, you're going to a different gospel, but that gospel doesn't save. It's under law. He says, and not that there is another one. See, there's not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And see, that's what we do. We're under grace in Christ, but we look to ourselves and think we keep ourselves saved by what we do under law. He says later on, he says, but now that you've come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to weak and worthless elementary principles of the world? What he's saying is this, having begun under grace, how can you go back to being under law? See, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? He says in chapter 3, oh, foolish. You guys like being called foolish?
No.
We need to recognize. No, good. Nobody does. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Where was he publicly portrayed as crucified? On the cross. And he says, fool guys, look to the cross. He says, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? What he's saying is this. Did you get saved under grace or under law? What's the answer? Under grace. He says, having begun by the Spirit, having begun under grace, are you perfected under the law? What's the answer?
No.
No! Very good! I like that. Emphatic. No, it's not. But that's what we tend to do. We tend to think, well, we're saved by grace, but I have to keep myself saved by what I do. It's not the gospel, guys. We look to the finished work of Christ. You guys remember Abner Yoder? Remember, he spent months building me a beautiful chair that I could retire in. And I tried to improve on it. What happened to it?
It got completely destroyed.
I ruined it. And then a few weeks later, maybe it was a week later, I tried to go back to my own doings again. Remember how foolish that was?
Yes.
Okay, what happened? See, I had to repent of my own goodness, trust in my own goodness. Remember, I threw it out there. Okay? But my point is, guys, is we are so prone to look to our own goodness, to think I can do something to earn with God. I built it back. Huh? Look at that. Is this a good chair to retire in?
No.
No, guys. See, it was a great chair at one point, right? Okay. But guys, this chair, okay, I don't even know if I sat in it, if it would be good. This chair, my point is this, guys, it shows that I'm trying to communicate to you guys, is just like I've built it and rebuilt it and rebuilt it, it's like me looking to what I do to keep myself saved. Is what I do what saves me? Is what I do what keeps me saved? No, that would be under law. So I need to repent not just of my sins. I need to repent of my sins. But I also need to repent of what? I need to repent of trusting my own goodness.
No, I can't.
Well, I need to. This is part of repentance right here.
Poor man works so hard on that
one. Is we need to repent of our goodness, and we need to make sure it doesn't come back.
No!
Huh? Tonight after church, outside, I'm going to show you true repentance. Now, the point is right now, guys, what I want you to understand is we are so prone to think we can keep our salvation under law. And this is what the Lord's Supper is about, guys. Paul says it this way, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" See, guys, we're so easily bewitched here. And he says this, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, here's the thing, guys. The Galatians didn't see Jesus crucified on the cross. You know that? So what is Paul talking about? He's talking about the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. And so, guys, you have been pointed to the cross. Jesus has been publicly portrayed as crucified when you hear the gospel. And guys, the Lord's Supper points us to this. What does the bread represent?
His broken
body. And where was his body broken?
On the cross.
On the cross for our sin. And what is the... It represents his blood shed for our salvation. Where was his blood shed?
On the cross.
On the cross. Here's the point, guys, is this. Are we saved under law or under grace?
Under grace.
Under grace. Not by what we do. And guys, look at Hazel over there. She's standing already for me. Thank you, Hazel. Guys, as dependent as Posey is on his mother's arms to uphold him, that's how dependent we are on God to uphold us.
Amen.
It's not about us being under law and keeping ourselves saved. Just like Posey can't do anything to stay saved, what can we do? Look to the cross. Amen. Look to Christ. Okay? Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling. At the bottom it says what? Helpless, look to thee for grace. Guys, as Christians, we look to God for grace. And the Lord's Supper reminds us that grace is found in Christ. In Christ alone. Let's pray, guys. Dear God, we thank you for the gospel. That through Jesus, we can have our sins forgiven. We can be forgiven for trusting in our own goodness. Lord, forgive us. Help us not to be bewitched, but help us to look to you in faith, to trust you, and to walk with you all the days of our lives. For your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.